Two men from different walks of life, both so curious, it drives them crazy. This is the Jack and Max Show.
And here we are, initial podcast episode. Jack, how do you feel?
Oh, I feel phenomenal.
Yeah,
good to see you.
Thanks. Good to see you too, pal. This is fun. This is a long time coming. We have ideas of what this is going to be, but I'm excited for it to show itself what it will be. All the planning in the world, right? I don't know. Throw in an analogy there. What's the saying? You can have all the planning in the world.
You can have all the planning in the world, and the end result may not be what you expected it to be. So I think the fact that you and I right now are going to explore different topics of interest and things that really make us tick is a phenomenal direction to take the show in.
I'm so excited to do this with you. We have so much in common coming from such different places.
We do. And it really started back in Florida 2 years ago when you and I came together. It's been an amazing journey to be connected to you and learn, you know, what you're doing and how you're going about your life and your professional pursuits. It's absolutely fascinating, which is the theme of the show, is to really explore all the trials and tribulations of what people go through in order to get to where they are. And you and I and all our guests coming in the future are going to have some really awesome stories to tell. I am just thrilled to take what we're doing here today and bring this all to the world. There's so many things that we're going to be exploring on this show, and I'm just so thrilled to be here with you, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And it's amazing that we met as two people. There's a saying in my business, ships passing in the night. I and so many of my artist friends don't see each other as we're traveling and touring because we're never at the same theater at the same time. We're always ships passing in the night. They're there 1 week and I'm there the next week, or so on and so forth. It's been so fun as you and I, people that are constantly traveling, to make it a point to meet up with each other every so often to keep our friendship going and constantly update each other. Because when we met, it was 2 years ago. And right now we're talking in May 2024. 2022 to 2024 were two very different years.
Yeah, for sure.
And a lot has changed for all of us. And it's really interesting and fascinating to see what's been challenging and what has been easy and what has been successful and what has been frustrating.
And to your point, and really, relationships do take some work and some effort to keep them going. And it's very easy to just let time slip on by and get caught up in our own lives. But yet we've managed to place emphasis on the meaning of this relationship and look where it's bringing us, that you and I are going to put our heads together and really take it to another level.
Absolutely. I'm excited about this. I'm excited to bring other people into this podcast, but I'm also excited to talk to you about literally the things that are going on daily in your life. And I find what you do fascinating. And
thank you.
Your commitment to it fascinating. How would you best explain your job and the path it took you to get to your job?
Yeah. So I started my career in the business brokerage world, where I was selling businesses on behalf of mostly Main Street type businesses, delis, car washes, restaurants, and then moved into the world of distributors and wholesalers and bigger companies. So being an intermediary in that capacity, you learn a lot about the human psychology, both from a seller's perspective and from a buyer's perspective. The common thread between both of them are that they're entrepreneurs through and through. And so I did that for a number of years. And back in 2018, I had a life change, moved out to Phoenix and spent my time hiking, of all things, because on Long Island, this part of the world is very flat.
Right.
And we have big box retailers up here.
You can hike to Walmart. Yeah.
You can hike to Walmart. Yeah. You could hike up and down the aisles. And so it came to me as I was hiking that I love entrepreneurs. I love the spirit that entrepreneurs have. And I also recognize that a lot of people, entrepreneurs, people in general, tend to get caught up in mindset blocks and things that cause them to get stuck and stay stuck and never really reach a point of success to their definition, because they're stuck with different things and roadblocks in their minds. So back in 2018, I found a whole new industry online. It's the coaching space. No matter what you're looking for, if you want to find out how to start a business from home, you want to learn how to trade, you want to learn how to start an Amazon store, you want to get better as a person, you want to be a better human being, and you want to develop yourself in such a way.
Information.
You can Google it. Information. Yeah. You can Google it. You'll find a coach that's ready and able and willing to teach you what you need to know. And usually they're in the form of masterminds and things of that nature. And so I aligned myself with several of these coaches and helped support their enrollments coming into their programs, working with people that book in and are interested in learning this new skill, this new trade, this new way of life, and they are intrigued by it, but they have a lot of questions. Most people are skeptical today. And so my role, in a nutshell, is really working through those limiting beliefs, figuring out if there's a fit, and really coaching people to get themselves out of their own way so that they can achieve what they want to achieve in their lives. And that's what I focus on with the entrepreneurs that I work with.
I love, as someone who loves learning, but also constantly wishing that I was able to do many of the things that other people are successful with, I love the idea that out there is someone who can walk you right through anything you'd want to do. And I don't know, I feel like I might sign up for 1,000 of them.
Well, Max, you are a student of personal development yourself. You are a student of your craft, and is why you've done so well in it. And so you can relate to being coached and wanting to learn more about what you need to know about.
That's true. The things I'm successful in, I've spent a lot of time doing, and I've had a large amount of experience with. I would say there's very few things in my life that I've had great success with that I just picked up and started, and I had no background in whatsoever. Even if I thought that, when I think, Jack, to the things in my life that were suddenly successful, if I actually think about them, there's a lot of things behind them that led that to seem that way to me. I think back to college when we created a show, my acting company in my conservatory, which was an unconventional concept for the entire school at that time. We were like the only company that was granted the ability to create a show. We had a teacher that wanted to do it. And I came up with what I thought was the dumbest idea in the world that ended up being one of the funniest things that I feel like I've ever done. And I threw it out there to try to get away with something. And it ended up being successful. And I don't know how, but the truth is because I had so much experience, one, being an idiot, and two, getting myself, putting my foot in my mouth, but also so much experience performing that I was able to actually do it. It didn't just happen.
Max, I want to explore that with you. I think that our listeners would love to learn more about those trials and tribulations, but I think it'd be a good place to start to let everybody know your background. What has brought you to where you are in your professional career tonight?
Sure, man. I grew up in Washington, D.C., by way of Nashville for a few years, and I came back and went to high school in D.C. I went to a performing arts high school, Duke Ellington School for the Arts, and went to college for acting. And I've been working as an actor and a magician ever since. As a little kid, I always thought it'd be fun to be a magician. In college, someone paid me at one point to do some magic for people. It was not something I ever, when they did, I was thrilled. I didn't think that was a job. I still couldn't tell you exactly how you become a magician, except you learn lots of magic tricks. You learn a lot about performing. And then you find a way to do it as much as you can and gain as much experience as you can. Which I guess now that I'm saying it, this is how you do anything.
Yeah, true.
But I went to school for acting, and I came out of a SUNY Purchase with a BFA in acting and an agent and a manager. And I've been working in the TV, film, and theater industry ever since. That's where my love and my heart lies. And magic to me is a beautiful extension of that. There is a complete separate history and specific to magic lineage and set of skills and learning that come with that. But there's also a lot of similar ones that come with being a performer. And I always attribute success of mine as a magician to the fact that I've wanted to be on stage ever since I was a little kid. And so even when I'm not on stage performing magic, there is a, I don't know, call it a mindset, call it a freedom, a relaxation to performing. And it's one of my favorite places to be. As I've gotten older, I've had the funny thought, maybe it's because I want to be in the room full of people, but not in the crowd of people. So I get to be with everybody across from them and still have my own like 6 feet of personal space. Also probably be the center of attention. I'm sure we'll have many episodes to go into all of this stuff. But that's my background. Is my parents were performers turned business people. And as I grew up, I focused on performing my whole life. And I now hope that I try to make it not the only thing that makes me happy, but it's one of the big ones is when I get a chance to perform.
Yeah. Especially I would imagine once you see the reaction and maybe some epiphanies that are taking place in your audience from some of the things that you're doing, I could imagine how that charges you up and keeps you going.
Yeah. Making people laugh is a drug.
Yeah.
It is. When you make someone laugh, all of a sudden things aren't so serious because God knows life is serious enough. And when all of a sudden you're the reason that someone's happy, it's a definite drug. And the same goes for that moment of absolute silence during a show or in a performance or a movie when everyone's holding their breath or something. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. The ability to affect people in a positive way is a wonderful thing to feel. However, it's funny. I was watching a TikTok reel last night or Instagram reel of Paul Newman. And it was a teacher saying, do you enjoy acting? And he said, probably not. And he said, I really enjoy all of the things surrounding it. I enjoy rehearsing. I get great joy from breaking down a script with people and by myself. I get great joy from creating life and circumstances behind a character or a situation. The actual doing of it is just skimming the surface. And I think there's something to be said about that. As much as I love performing, I really love my craft. I'm sure this goes for you too. Talking to people is just part of your job, right? I love all of the things surrounding it. I love rehearsing and reading scripts and working with other people and collaborating to create things. I love the creating part of it. And performing is only part of the creating part of it.
Yeah. And I love that because there are some similarities between what you just said and the way I feel about my work in a sense that we study psychology, we study the human condition and understand what those factors are that keep people stuck and prevent them from realizing the lives and the lifestyles that they really dream about. And there's a lot of back end understanding research. You talk about scripts and breaking down different types of discussions. But at the end of the day, what it really boils down to is the result. It's the breakthrough that the client gets on a call with me to be able to move their lives forward. And everything before that, it's just part of the job, but it's the result of what we get for that particular person, which is really what it all boils down to for us.
The result. It's the result created for someone else. Certainly you get a gratification when someone else finds fulfillment and excitement in a new chapter of their life. But also it's that excitement that you're seeing they get, right?
Oh yeah. It's a lot of times people, they confuse sales with an agenda that you have, an outcome that you want. And unfortunately, there are some people out there in sales that fit that narrative. But what we do is very different. We guide the person to having that self-realization, to make a decision that empowers them. And they end up making the best decisions in their lives. In fact, I have clients from years and years ago that still keep in touch with me, and they thank me for not quitting on them, for not giving up on them when their lower selves kicked in and said, wait a minute, this is too much money. You're not good enough. Other people are successful, but you know what?
This is going to be really hard.
Yeah. It's going to be really hard. I'm going to have to apply myself and work. I got to have some structure. And all of these negative thoughts come into play and keep people stuck. And that's what we're talking about here in your work. It's the feeling that people get at that moment in time when you're performing.
It's fascinating. There's so many different topics that we can discuss. And one in particular, and we can touch upon it now if you're open to it, but we can set up a time in another podcast to really dive into this. But a lot of people are fascinated with being on stage and either presenting or having a talk. And I think that there's a lot of people that get caught up in that stage fright. I'm going to prepare as best as I can, but when I get on stage, everything freezes up. I see all these eyeballs staring at me. You've had to overcome that. And I'm curious, how have you overcome that?
Well, Jack, I was dropped on my head as a child, and I've never quite fully recovered. I think there's a couple things. One, we are always scared of that which we know nothing about. It's the reason we have wars. It's the reason people fight. It's the reason people are biased. We just don't trust things we aren't familiar with. And most people are not familiar with being in front of people and talking all the time, let alone, how about being a magician where you're trying to do things that could fail and expose you as a fraud? That is, if you are purporting yourself to be an actual wizard, not someone performing. They're two very different things. Penn and Teller would tell you they are absolutely performing a magician, while as someone like Uri Geller, who is not prominent now, but might back in the day, was purporting to have actual psychic powers. And when his trick that didn't work, well,
you're downhill from there.
Yeah. You don't have psychic powers then, my friend. But in terms of public speaking is still rated the number one fear. Last time I checked. And I think for me, who has done a lot of thought and research into the topic of embarrassment, because it's my least favorite feeling, it comes down to the idea of feeling embarrassed. I am going to speak and they're not going to like me. And that would be embarrassing and be the worst feeling. I am going to speak and you're telling yourself, I'm going to screw it up and I'm going to feel embarrassed. There is nothing that breaks my heart more than seeing a child feel embarrassed for some reason. And I work with children a lot, as you know. One of the things that I do in my life is I travel with a stage show where children from the audience come onto the stage and perform with me. And that is the hinge of one of my shows. And my number one rule is no kid is ever allowed to feel embarrassed on that stage and leave feeling bad. I might surprise them. They might be surprised, but I will never let anyone feel embarrassed. And I think that partly has to do with maybe I felt embarrassed a lot as a kid. I don't know. My dad's a very outgoing person, and maybe I felt like I had something to prove or something. I wasn't always the kid that wanted to get up on stage. Maybe I was.
I don't know.
But I certainly had a social fear inside of me as a little kid that was afraid of being embarrassed or looking foolish. Now, as an adult, I have no problem with that part of my public persona. But as a private persona, you don't want to feel embarrassed in front of your loved ones.
I think it's terrifying to have that experience when you're in front of people, no matter when it is, no matter when it happens during your presentation or your act. But do you think it's better to experience a blip towards the end of your act or your presentation because you've built up love and credibility throughout the way? Or is it better to get it out of the way right from the very start?
It's an interesting question. I would say, I think falling off the bike is the most important part of learning to ride the bike, right? Otherwise, you'd have a false sense of safety, right? Certainly, all the people you're talking to, and actually, I forgot what I was about to say. This is going to happen a lot, by the way, Jack. I'm going to talk and then forget what I have to say.
Yeah, but you're fine.
What if that's a great example of what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Having a blip. Right?
Having a blip.
No. I've just become very comfortable with not having things go correctly. And there's that other thing that we want a sense of control. And the thing about performing live is that sense of control is somewhat out of your hands. And any stand-up comedian will tell you this. The audience is 50% of the show. They talk back. And we see hecklers all the time. And you have to know how to deal with that. You have to know how to deal with, you have a joke and it doesn't get the laugh that you thought it was going to get. And so I think a lot of people that have less experience public speaking, a lot of the fear of it is, what if things don't go my way, the way that I imagined? And the truth is, they're not going to go the way you imagined. If they do, either you've done a lot of great preparation. A few people I know that have done TED Talks and that I've heard talk about their preparation for TED Talks have practiced them hundreds of times. They didn't just get up there and do it. It's just that you and I see them doing it and sure, it looks polished. We don't see the fact that they practiced this, quote, impromptu TED Talk in their garage to their cat 100 times the night before.
Sure. How does one prepare, though, for the hecklers? How does one prepare for that? Because that's the unknown. That's the lack of control that you talk about, right? So you practice 100 times and you're right on point, but you've never dealt with the 50% of the show being the audience. So how do you work through that?
Experience. One, yeah, you experience it for the first time, and one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to acknowledge it or you're going to ignore it. Best thing to do is always, I think, to acknowledge it. Now, mm-hmm, I just said that very confidently, but the fuck do I know? It could absolutely be not 100% of the time. I actually hate speaking in absolute like that.
Yeah. But depends on how you feel that day.
And it depends on the person. I mean, well, we're talking generally, but like specifically, if you're talking and someone says something while you're talking and not everybody can really hear it, you just keep going. That's great. But if someone says something and you acknowledge it, by just acknowledging the fact that someone in the room spoke, the rest of the audience knows that you are a human being on their level with them. You are not just, quote, on the stage, but we are all in the same room hearing the same things.
Yeah, you're paying attention.
You're paying attention. It's a give and a take. And that could even be acknowledging a laugh. I've seen people that aren't the most confident public speakers get a laugh and go, oh, I didn't think that was going to get a laugh. And everybody loves that because that means you're a human. You didn't come out on the other line. There's a line between the audience and the stage. You didn't come out on the other side of the line and you're going to leave on the other side of the line and you're not part of us. You're one of us.
Yeah.
I'm mm-hmm. a person talking to you, another group of people. I'm very human.
I mean, that's the only perspective that one should have, I think, if they're on stage, because it is a very personal conversation that you're having with someone in that audience. It just happens to be a lot of people that are listening to the same thing. And so it's, I think it's important to be able to, like you said, identify what is being said in the room, because yeah, it is important.
The difference is this theater or is this someone talking? Mm-hmm. If we're going mm-hmm. to a play, then yes, the person is probably walking in on the other side of the line and exiting on the other side of the line. We want that world to be a world that we're looking into. But if we're talking about someone that's public speaking or performing like I do, where you're directly engaging the audience, you don't want it to feel like that person is above you or separate, I don't think. You want to know that they're with you. And my yeah. favorite performers are the ones that acknowledge when things go wrong in the audience. I call them happy accidents. My job in my show, which I know very well, I try to facilitate as many happy accidents as possible to create new moments mm-hmm. that are co-authored by me and the audience together. Something that only will have ever happened at that one show when that one person yelled that one thing out and I responded to them. That's a unique, special moment. You can't possibly just go through a script with the person every time and have it be the same thing. There's no way you would be successful if that was possible.
You're spot on. I'll tell you a quick story. There was a nurse interested in getting coached and mentored to break free from the hospital system. She wanted to become an entrepreneur for the first time. She had 8 family members and friends in the same room on our Zoom call together. So she had a little village of people that supported her, loved her, and wanted to make sure that she wasn't going to be taken advantage of.
That's wonderful.
I loved it. Because to your point about really paying attention and acknowledging, I love these scenarios because I engage every single person in that room. Every single person I want to hear from, because they're there obviously out of love and concern. If I miss one person or two people in that room, then that's the gap or the void that I don't know how to fill. And so that's the red herring in the room that maybe we don't do this together. Maybe I don't help her move on with this journey because one of those individuals might have a different opinion or a different thought process that I didn't explore with them. So it's incredibly important. Max, I love where these conversations are going, and there's a lot of depth in everything that we're talking about. In the interest of time, I think we're at what, about 35
minutes. I was just thinking the same thing. I feel like we can talk for 40, 45 minutes. This is the intro to the Jack and Max show.
Yeah.
This is just us saying, welcome everybody. And we're so excited for you to jump on the train with us, of which we know where it's going, but we're really excited to not only continue to explore each other. I think you brought it up, Jack, and you touched on a really great touchstone of this, of what we want to do here, is we want to talk about the vulnerability and what can get people past that fear of something that might be holding them back. And I know for me, I use the word mindset a lot because I feel like I constantly have the wrong mindset myself. I feel like I'm constantly in a negative mindset where I tell myself, I can't do this, or I shouldn't do that, or I'm too old for this, or I'm too young for that, or I'm too inexperienced to do this. You and I have never done a podcast before or hosted one. So why should we do this now? Why can we do this now? We can't do this now, right? We shouldn't do this now. There's no reason. And the truth is, there's no reason we shouldn't. Mm-hmm. I feel strongly that we are all creators in life. And you and I are simply creating something new and fun together that is about to take on a life of its own.
For sure. And you said that beautifully. And there's a lesson to be learned in all of this. And I agree with you. We are carved from the same rock, just people in general. And we're sensitive, delicate creatures. And with however number of people we have on this planet and whatever the number is today, and all the messages that are being thrown at us, there's just a lot to dissect, interpret, discard what is not real, consume what is, surround ourselves with people that know us, love us, and want to be with us and support us. We're living in tough times, not to mention what's happening on the global stage, the economy, the political world. There's a lot going on. And I think that this is going to be very timely to be able to share not only our stories and insights, but to bring other people on that have had some really challenging experiences in their lives, and they've pushed through all that adversity to become what they are today. And I just love those hero stories. And I love the stories of people that haven't quite figured it out yet, but they're on their way. They're doing the work to figure it out. And those are the kinds of things that we're going to bring to light. And again, I'm with you, man. I am thrilled to see where this is going to go with you, buddy.
Me too. I know very few people that would tell us they have it all figured out. Even the ones that it looks like they do, they might just have more experience.
That's right.
Figuring it out than some of the rest of us.
Yeah. 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 And we, on another podcast, we'll talk about the four quadrants of life that I look at through a lens. And those quadrants, they break down to relationships being one of them, health being another one. I look at spirituality as another one, and then wealth and abundance. And those four quadrants are what the human condition is really all about. This is what we're striving for. Now, some of us find ourselves immersed in one quadrant of life. Our cup is really full in that quadrant, but then the other quadrants are lacking.
I don't want you to give it all away because I want this to be a whole conversation. I really want to hear about, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I do mean to interrupt you. I want you to hold back on that because that's a whole conversation. And I cannot wait to talk about that with you. Come back and listen again, because after a word from our sponsors, which don't exist yet, people are going to come back and listen to what you have to say. I want to ask you all about the four quadrants that you have broken things down into. Yeah, baby.
Sounds good. Max, appreciate you. Everybody for listening. We appreciate you as well. Make sure that you opt in to our email list so that we can keep you engaged and let you know when we are producing our next podcast.
Yes. Jump on the list. Give us a follow, subscribe, and we will see you next time.